This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
To get a Christmas tree. Were you shell-shocked by the price? What was it like trying to find a Christmas tree this year? Because supposedly in some areas they weren't as plentiful. There was a Christmas tree shortage that's been going on in 2021. So there's been a massive price increase. Maybe that's why my hubs is dragging his heels. Every time I say, and he's the one who likes the real Christmas tree, should we go get the Christmas tree? Nah, I'm tired. And I think he's heel dragging so much, we might end up with a Charlie Brown tree. But for those who are out there shopping, they're as high as for a 6-foot tree, depending on where you live, $225. Woo, that's a lot of money to spend on a Christmas tree, but there wasn't. There weren't as many Christmas trees, and it depends on the kind that you get. A Fraser fir? Is it a Douglas? What is it that you're getting? I guess the people who like artificial trees may be smarter this time around. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you had a great weekend, whatever it is that you did. Maybe you're still celebrating the end of Hanukkah. The final night is upon us. Maybe we're just chillaxing and trying not to think about the nasty virus or doing something like watching football, because it was a great weekend to watch football. Congratulations to the Michigan Wolverines. Hail to the victors. Wow, a big shot for Michigan to go to the playoffs. All right, we seg into what people are talking about, Omicron in at least 15 states. Delta really is the biggest challenge. Nobody has died from the big O so far at this point, although there's a lot of conversation about it. And Bob Dole, the former Republican presidential candidate and senator, dead at the age of 98. In my very young career, I had a chance to meet Elizabeth Dole and Bob Dole and spend a little bit of time with them. Very funny man. And the two of them were very gracious the couple of times that I had been around them. So he's a Kansas City lawmaker, World War II vet, and he wanted to be president. He never quite became president, of course, but he did really care about service. He was a soldier. He was a soldier who lost the use of his right arm, actually on a battlefield in Italy, and he said he wanted to be remembered. He did an interview, I want to say it was on Fox, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, where he said he wanted to be remembered as a veteran who gave his most for his country. He was a major, major force in the Republican Party for 3 decades, and it started in 1971 when he was the national chairman, and then ended in 1996. He was the Republican presidential nominee in an election lost to Bill Clinton. But until 2018, he held the record as the Senate's longest serving Republican leader, a post he had for 11 years. So rip to Bob Dole, dead at the age of 98. Heading into the weekend, there was a lot of conversation about the Michigan parents of the gunman who killed 4 classmates at Oxford High School outside of Detroit. and the parents were charged with manslaughter and said they were going to turn themselves in, but they didn't turn themselves in. They were found hiding in a building. Their bond has been set at $500,000 apiece. So how about that? I thought that was an interesting development, because when it all happened that they were going to be charged with manslaughter, James and Jennifer Crumley said, yeah, we're going to turn ourselves in, and that did not happen. So instead, they must have gotten a tip, the police, as to where they were hiding, and they found them. So they are still arguing that they never intended to run, but they had made instead plans to meet their lawyers on Saturday morning. So bottom line is they entered not guilty pleas to each of the four involuntary manslaughter counts against them during a hearing held on Zoom. Jennifer Crumley sobbed throughout it and struggled to even respond to the judge's questions. James Crumley shook his head when a prosecutor said their son had full access to the gun used in the killings. So we know that this story obviously is going to continue to unfold. It's terrible. Ethan Crumley, again, after they had been called to the school, after there were conversations about behavior, he comes out of a bathroom and opens fire. And there are still some of the classmates of his that he shot that are in the hospital that are in serious condition, but look like they're going to be okay. Let's put it that way. But will anyone really be okay that had to hide, run, or whatever else, thanks to this 15-year-old who came out of that bathroom with a gun shooting students in the hallway? And he's charged as an adult, by the way, with murder, terrorism, and some other crimes. By the way, I'm just going to say this at the top, because I know we're going to be talking about this. Under Michigan law, the involuntary manslaughter charge filed against the parents can be pursued if law enforcement believe someone contributed to a situation where there was a high chance of harm or death. I still think it'll be hard for them to be convicted of this, but being charged, how this plays out and the effect it may have on other families will be the interesting part of watching this. And I'll tell you, the superintendent is still trying to fend off questions about the response to Ethan Crumbly's behavior, because what people are aghast about is, well, wait a second, he was removed from a class, and then they met again, so they had a meeting on Monday before everything happened, and then they met again on Tuesday, and he could have been removed from the school, but he wasn't. They said he's okay, the parents said he's okay, he can go back to the class. And what was the role of the superintendent? So the superintendent, a guy named Tim Throne, for the first time detailed the school's response to Crumbly's behavior. At the first meeting with a counselor and a staff member, they said, Crumbly said shooting sports were a hobby for his family. During the second meeting with a guidance counselor, Crumbly claimed the drawings that he had were part of a video game design, and he said he wanted to pursue a career in that field. That's what the guidance counselor is saying. That's what the superintendent released. And they said he was calm, was working on homework while they tried to reach his parents, and then they came to the school. Unfortunately, we now know how this all ended up. All right, coming up next, you had lots of thoughts about the Crumleys and some other things as well, including Chris Cuomo and sexual harassment. Wow. Next.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here. I'm going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Emily Dalton-Smith, head of social impact at Meta, is here to share with us how we can get involved in Giving Tuesday.
As another pandemic year begins to wind down, we want to focus on the goodness we see across our platform. The power of social connection is changing how people give back to their communities, and I'm really excited to see how people will get involved this Giving Tuesday. I'm also proud Meta is supporting what's important to our community by matching up to $8 million in donations made to nonprofits.
Emily, what businesses and people will this support?
Whether you're supporting a Black-owned business through Buy Black Friday, donating to a stranger's fundraiser about a cause you love, or doing something completely different, I really hope people will consider giving. It can make all the difference in the world for someone and can be pretty impactful for the giver, too.
Emily, where can we go to find out more information?
You can check out all the details on how Meta is encouraging giving back this holiday season by visiting fb.me/givingseason2021.
Oh. You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Dig very far, but I say that all the time. It's the truth. You can send me your thoughts 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. So let's go to this one first from Angie, who says, "Hey, Kate, I have been following the story of the Michigan couple, and I have to say, as a lifelong NRA member, and somebody who hunts, somebody who owns several guns, grew up in that kind of a family, we were always taught about being accountable and knowing what it was we were doing with our weapons, etc., especially as we grew older, had families, and I really thank my father for that. And I do believe that the parents should be charged because it's a wake-up call to the rest of America, and I stand as somebody who supports gun rights. I was listening to you say something similar, but yet you cannot leave guns in those situations and think that it's going to be okay. Did they not know that something was going on? I think there are more details, too, that are probably missing from the story. It makes sense because you have the big question of the why did it happen? And there is no great answer to that. What would be the motivation? Again, think there is more to the story. All right, thanks for that. I agree with you. I can't say I don't. I mean, listen, responsible gun ownership. What is responsible gun ownership? What is the word accountability? What does all that mean? We know we're adults. It's called adulting. How do you? I've had this discussion now with a lot of different people. I think really, my whole career, I've had this discussion. about what is it you need to do. I mean, think about if you had super young children. Think when there's a tragic accident. We've had those people on this show over the years. We have. And it's heartbreaking, horrible. And then what happens is, again, they try to advocate for safe gun ownership. So that is the bottom line. Now, do I think it will be a successful prosecution? I don't think so. I think it's going to be hard to prove that, but it is, I think, something that will make people, perhaps, it will make people think about what they are doing with their guns. Who are the kids in the house? What is their situation? I mean, now more than ever, you see with teenagers, there's bullying, there's everything that's happened with the isolation, with the pandemic. It's sky high, the amount of kids who have committed suicide because they've been bullied or something happened. And there's so many things that go on during those teenage years anyway, and multiply it by the situations we're in. So, you know, again, I'm not even pointing specifically to this. We don't know a lot about him other than the 15-year-old, other than some of what the school is now reporting, because people were so horrified that he, in fact, was pulled out of classes and talked to. Like, it wasn't just recklessly pulling random kids out of classes, but yet then he was sent back out, and then that's when that happened. So you can only imagine how a guidance counselor might feel about that, but parents were irate. So let's move to another one. This one is from Chris, who says, "Hey, Kate, trying the 15-year-old as an adult, I think, is the right thing to do. My heart really goes out to the families of those that were killed and all the other kids in that high school. I have a son who's 16, and it's interesting. You talked about the fact that your nephew and so many others, now this is the way of life, that they're taught all these drills for in school about what to do, what happens when there's an active shooter, and, you know, the arguments about kids having phones off, but yet then they should have the phone on because they'll get text when they're in other parts of maybe a big high school or even a smaller high school. And it brings back all those questions again about hiring private guards, raising the money to do that. What can you do to keep kids safe from other kids who might not be right in the head and decide that they were bullied or shunned or whatever? And ultimately, it's the idea is to make it a safe place for any kids. Oh, absolutely. I mean, listen, I say this all the time. The fact that people go to church and die, go to school and die, go to a mall and die, I mean, are you kidding me? Are out at a festival and get picked off and die? It's despicable. It's disgusting. There's just no way to properly express, I think, in the right words, just how horrific that is. And who among us would not agree about that? I mean, there's an area where I think most of us would agree. All right, I haven't even mentioned this, so this is perfect. I got this one from Gregory, who says, "Hey, Kate, listen to the show. I started listening, gosh, probably about 6 months ago. I discovered you during the pandemic. Love it. It's great to hear a strong female's voice who is kind of the voice of reason." That's what I call you anyway. So Chris Cuomo finally getting the axe by CNN. It's about time. But the other part of the story that's so interesting is apparently there is something to do with sexual harassment. So was it sexual harassment did Chris Cuomo get caught up in sexual harassment, or was it just about his brother's defense? You know, it's so interesting. The New York Times reported that a lawyer had told CNN, this happened last week, midweek, that there was an allegation of sexual misconduct made against Chris Cuomo by a client of hers, and that she was a former junior colleague of Cuomo's at another network. So the specifics of that we don't know, but what a CNN spokesperson said is that based on the report they got regarding his conduct with his brother's defense, they had cause to terminate. When new allegations came up, we took them seriously, but we saw no reason to delay taking immediate action. So they're basically saying, hey, if he's getting charged, if somebody's going after him for harassment, you know, so be it. But he was going to be terminated anyway because of what happened in his defending his brother, who was the then governor of New York. Because, you can't do that. So Jeff Zucker, the former NBC whiz kid, who, of course, is the CNN for now a while, president, fired him over the weekend, right? And Michael Smirkanish is going to host the show. I don't know if he's going to be the permanent guy, but he's going to host it all next week anyway. So Chris Cuomo is absolutely out of CNN. I mean, look, people always wondered, oh, it's taking so long to put this together, and people were all over the Attorney General in New York. But I say bravo to her, because she had to piece that case together to make the case that to bounce Cuomo from his being the governor, because of everything that they were peeling through, not just do it haphazardly. Otherwise, it doesn't stick. I mean, it was hard to get him out of there in the first place. So there you go. And what happens to Chris Cuomo? Who knows? I mean, he's got some sort of a radio show, and he said on his radio show that his suspension was embarrassing but understandable, and he never wanted to compromise any colleagues, and he would respect the process. And so, you know, that was that for that. But they definitely had texts and all kinds of other pieces of information of what Chris Cuomo was trying to do. Wow. All right, quickly, here's another one. This one is from Bill, who says, Big Bob Dole, dead. Boy, he lived a long life, Kate Delaney. I can remember my grandfather talking about Bob Dole. He really respected him, and I think it was because of his service and maybe even his sense of humor in his later years. Yeah, I like the way you said that. He may have had a sense of humor always, but it's just that that was played up, and we saw it more when he was running for president, etc., when his wife was on a ticket, when there was conversation about, you know, Elizabeth Dole being part of a race for a female to get in, I should say, that's what it was, as the first president, female president. It's just interesting, right? He survived Dole by his wife and former Senator Elizabeth Dole from North Carolina, and a daughter, Robin Dole, by the way. Yep, like I said, 98, that is a life well lived.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I accept your nomination to lead our party once again to the presidency of the United States. a giant of the U.S. Senate and the 1996 Republican presidential nominee, Bob Dole, has died at 98. Dole had been in declining health for a number of years. He'd been battling stage 4 lung cancer, and according to a family statement, the senator died in his sleep early Sunday morning. Reaction's been pouring in from both sides, according to Sean Sullivan, who's written a lot about Bob Dole for the Washington Post.
We're seeing a lot of statements pour in right now from different politicians from both ends of the political spectrum, Democrats, Republicans. I think you're going to continue to see that today as people pay their respects.
President Biden calling Dole a true war hero and among the greatest of the greatest generation. And this is USA Radio News. The White House says President Biden is looking forward to Tuesday's video call with Russian President Vladimir Putin, a call that will be coming as tensions have mounted over a massive Russian troop buildup along the border with Ukraine. Dr. Anthony Fauci saying he's hopeful the U.S. will be able to lift its travel ban on African nations in a reasonable amount of time, saying on CNN that, quote, we are looking at that very carefully on a daily basis as health officials gain more information about cases here in the U.S. and worldwide of coronavirus and that new variant of it, Omicron. Meanwhile, mask mandates are still in the news, as is one in the state of Oregon. Here's our Jeremy Scott with details.
The Oregon Health Authority met last week to discuss a potential permanent indoor mask mandate. State health officials say that doesn't really mean permanent, just that it won't automatically expire until it's repealed.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Would you rather be stuck in a snowstorm in a tent where you had lots and lots of blankets and a little bit of fire, or an IKEA store? I'm going to go with the IKEA store. So to me, this was one of the craziest stories that I've ever heard. A massive snowstorm in Denmark. Oh, in Colorado, don't they wish they had that, as they have 200 and 300 hours of man-made snow that is spilling out all over the place and various ski resorts to try to make up for the lack of actual snow. It's very strange. But this massive snowstorm in Denmark trapped about 30 people in an IKEA store overnight. So employees and customers slept in the beds in the showroom. They actually said, the store manager said, that it was a fun evening and a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I see a commercial coming. If I did the ads for IKEA? Oh, yeah. Because they tweeted it out. There was a couple of the manager was in the bed, and they showed him in the bed, and he tweeted out about it. And he's saying it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And then they showed people at the counters, and they were playing cards at some of the tables and that kind of thing. They had hot cinnamon buns. Wonder if they had any of those Swedish meatballs. That's why I used to go to IKEA, right, just to get those meatballs. So they had hot cinnamon buns, hot chocolate, coffee. I guess there was even some beer. Ooh. They had sofas. They watched Christmas movies and a soccer match. I don't know. it sounds pretty good to me. I think this is absolutely a huge opportunity to talk about IKEA. And if I, again, am in charge of the advertising and they've hired me, oh, I am all over this. Are you kidding? And they even said, you know, the store manager in this IKEA in Denmark said, in the morning, of course, we changed the bed linen and bedspreads, and it was ready for customers again at 10 o'clock in the morning. It could be very interesting if you found yourself in that situation. And if you've ever spent a night that where you're cold in a tent, I have, just in the middle of nowhere, just a rainstorm to beat the band. It was awful. There's like no getting warm. None. I would take IKEA immediately, any day. And with that much snow, they were smart to do that because they weren't going to be able to get out. What were they going to do? They had to do that. They had to do that. So I love that story. I do. I love, love, love that story. All right, some other things that I just happened to pick up along the way, you know, because I'm a content curator and I'm looking at all kinds of things that's interesting, is the tech that's out there right now. Because it is the holiday, so people are getting more tech. And is virtual reality going to be super, super big? You know, we talked to the people at Meta. And coming up this week, we're going to talk to someone from Meta about virtual reality. And there's a lot you can do with virtual reality, meaning even exercise where you feel like you're right in the middle of the class. And I'm all for burning cows if it's easy to do, meaning you feel like you're in the middle of it and you're just focused on that and it's okay, right? So I think that... And it's not a big wild prediction. I think it's pretty clear that technology just continues to move at just the speed of sound. I mean, it's like ridiculous, right? And virtual reality, I think, is going to be more available as the years go by because that's what happens. It gets cheaper. When things first come out, they're much more expensive, and then it gets cheaper and cheaper, and that's what ends up happening. More people jump on board, and it either works for, you know, spanning the generations or only a couple of generations or, you know, whatever it might be. So one thing that is crazy about technology, and you may find this, you have to be careful because there's more ways for people to find you, and you get all, now you're getting like spam texts. I'm getting spam texts. Hey, I hear you're selling your house. And then there's like these details that are false. Or something else. We're holding your package for you at the whatever service center, and it's nonsense. They just made it up. Or people pretending like you're already a customer, but you're not. So debt collectors, I guess, of course, now have these new ways to contact you. And one of the things that, at least with debt collectors, they have to do is they have to clearly identify themselves. And they have to include a way for you to stop receiving their messages. So there has to be a mechanism to opt out, which I think is a really, really good thing. Because of all these advances in technology and the way we communicate, you know, think about the debt collectors not being able to be part of the technology, but also think about people getting harassed, because that's what debt collectors do. So debt collectors can use phone calls, email, text messages, and, of course, letters to communicate with consumers. But I just wonder how that would be to get a text. Would that immediately, you know, would you just like right away get pushed into action? Oh, that's right. This is a debt collector. You know, you get that with the phone company. You might get when your phone bill is due, you might get a text from the phone company. I know a lot of them do that. Whether it's AT&T or T-Mobile or, you know, whoever. And debt collection is huge in the United States. There's more than 8,000, I was just reading the stat, debt collection firms in the U.S., right, that are legitimate. So then you got to watch out for the scams. But You know, you have certain rights to not be prevent that harassment, but trying to decipher what is and isn't, if they can private message you and they can text you and go after you that way. And I guess the debt collection rule bans collectors, I didn't know this, from calling more than 7 times within a 7-day period or within 7 days after engaging in a phone conversation with you about whatever the debt is. It used to be so much easier, right, for people to just ditch the credit card companies who were after X amount of dollars going after you, right? See, technology gives and technology takes away. All right, I mentioned, you know, COVID at the top of and talked about Delta is still the main variant that's being discussed because that's what people are still coming down with. But Omicron is there too, but nobody's died from it, thank goodness. But we haven't heard too much with cruise ships because they have such strict protocol anymore. But 10 people on a Norwegian cruise line ship approaching one of our favorite cities, New Orleans, have tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend. They were talking about this. The Breakaway had left New Orleans on November 28th and was due to return this weekend. So 3,200 people are on the ship, and they've been doing, the people who have it have been quarantining and doing the isolating protocols with the new cases and the exposures, etc. And what they do is before they get off, I wonder this, before they get off in New Orleans, each person on board gets tested for coronavirus. Anyone who tests positive either goes directly home or they self-isolate in accommodations provided by the cruise line. So how about that? And remember, cruise ships were the floating petri dishes in the beginning of the pandemic outbreaks. Ships were rejected at ports. Passengers were forced into quarantine. Some died of COVID-19 at sea. Others got so ill they had to be carried off the boat on stretchers. And there was even a no-sail order in March of 2020. And that was a standstill that ended last June. Cruise ships started to leave ports, and they just had these new requirements, and the crew members had to have been vaccinated against the virus at least 2 weeks before the cruise ships departed. And people who love to cruise, and they were missing the cruise ship experience. They were jonesing to get back on those boats, and now they are. I just had a friend whose family, there was 4 of them, her 2 teenagers and her husband, and we just saw each other recently. They went to St. Thomas, and they were on, I want to say, Carnival cruise. And she said it was, you know, all the protocols were followed, and they had to be tested. They had to be tested 48 hours before they got on the boat, so they were scrambling around and actually got tested the morning of getting on the boat. And it made me think that, you know, that's something for all of you to consider. Regardless of where you stand on vaccinations at all, if you are going somewhere anymore, you have to know how to get the test or where to get the test, because sometimes it's 24 hours or 48 hours, but you have to be able to find a test, get a test, and prove that, even if you've been vaccinated in many cases. In the cruise situation, they had to show that even though they had been vaccinated. So that is normal protocol for not just cruise ships, but a couple of other different industries, etc., that are requiring that. All right, stay with us. We're making the final turn for this hour coming up.
Emily Dalton Smith, head of social impact at Meta, is here to share with us how we can get involved in Giving Tuesday.
As another pandemic year begins to wind down, We want to focus on the goodness we see across our platform. The power of social connection is changing how people give back to their communities, and I'm really excited to see how people will get involved this Giving Tuesday. I'm also proud Meta is supporting what's important to our community by matching up to $8 million in donations made to nonprofits.
Emily, what businesses and people will this support?
Whether you're supporting a Black-owned business through Buy Black Friday, donating to a stranger's fundraiser about a cause you love, or doing something completely different, I really hope people will consider giving. It can make all the difference in the world for someone and can be pretty impactful for the giver, too.
Emily, where can we go to find out more information?
You can check out all the details on how Meta is encouraging giving back this holiday season by visiting fb.me/givingseason2021.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
I've had friends that have gone through this, and it's very, very tough. What do you do when you get the news of cancer? What do you do when you're trying to keep your family together? Everything's going along smoothly, and all of a sudden you hear the diagnosis of terminal cancer. James Forker is with us. His book is called The End of the Rainbow, One Man's Unexpected Journey of Love and Loss Through Leukemia. James, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So first, let's talk about your story and what happened.
Sure. So, you know, life was going well, as expected. You know, my wife, Jen, and I, we had three kids. One, the oldest was from her previous marriage, and then we had two together. And, you know, we were living our lives, enjoying, you know, vacations and everything that you do, raising your children, until a day that I'll never forget. In April of 2017, my wife had not been feeling well for a few months, but typical symptoms that you could write off, you know, headaches, some back pain, night sweats, you name it. And she was a working mom of three children. And, you know, her friend decided to take her into the local ER just to kind of see what's going on. And I'm literally on a plane flying, you know, taxiing in Logan Airport in Boston when I got a call from the friend that took her to the ER. for me to get off the plane, and they put the doctor on the phone, and you know, the doctor expressed to me that she believes that my wife Jen had ALL, which is adult lymphoblastic leukemia, and after that day, the world completely changed.
Yeah, so you talk about what you do, what you go through, what do you do for your wife, and what was that like? I mean, what do you do to help the person that you love the most, and you still have young children?
Well, there's no script or playbook for this, right?
Yeah.
Nobody gives you a guide when, you know, your loved one is diagnosed with cancer, especially I was 42 at the time, and my oldest was 15. My youngest was 11. So that's a great question. And, you know, for a year and a half, it was this balance between being at the hospital, which she was in the hospital a lot, being home, which, you know, we lived about an hour from the hospital in Boston, to be with my kids, and then figuring out how to continue to work in order to financially provide for everything and maintain health insurance and the treatments that she was receiving. So I don't know if I ever figured that out, to be honest with you. And you just take one. I had to take one day at a time.
So you're taking one day at a time, and then you come to the point where you have to say goodbye, and that is so tough. And how do you move forward?
Well, the saying goodbye part, honestly, my wife always had the attitude that she was going to be part of the 1%, the 1% of people that, you know, are told that they are not going to survive, and they do. So she always held on to that mantra. And literally, Kate, it was a week, not even a week before she died, that we basically had that conversation as far as, you know, what was soon to come. And that was the hardest part, because when you give up and, you know, succumb, then we felt that things would just move quicker. And, you know, she probably would have passed earlier, but she fought. And she never wanted to have the attitude that she was going to lose the fight. So, you know, it was only 4 or 5 days prior to her passing away that we really did have that conversation as far as us and her and, you know, what life would be like without her.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful book, such a great memoir, honestly, End of the Rainbow. And just unbelievable, this woman that so many people loved, and then how do you do that, and what do you do to move forward? Anybody could read this book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. What do you want people to take away from reading The End of the Rainbow?
I would like people to come away with the thought that when you have the opportunity to spend as much time with, you know, the people that you care about and be surrounded by loved ones as much as possible to make every minute count, because my wife was the healthiest person that I knew. And she had zero risk factors. And this was really, I want to say a different word, but this was really bad luck. And you need to cherish every moment, because life is short. And, you know, having a balance between work and family, like family is everything. And, you know, you blink and, you know, 30 years go by. So the biggest takeaway for me is for people to see, you know, the memories and the joy that you have with your loved one, and just don't take it for granted, because one day you can wake up with a phone call like I did and everything changes. So you really need to appreciate your time.
Yeah. How's the family doing now?
We're great. I mean, all things considered, you know, my oldest is in college, my two are in high school, and, you know, I am very close with my children, and I know that my wife Jen would would be very upset with me if I didn't take the course that I did after she passed away. And everything that I do and how I parent my kids and see them grow up is really modeled after what she was and still is to them.
Yeah, love it. Again, the end of the rainbow. You can pick up the book, like I said already, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thanks, James, for coming on.
Thank you, Kay. Appreciate it.
Wow, I love that. I love the fact that he put that story out there and talked about how quickly something changes in your life. You know, this incredibly tragic loss. And how, you know, Jen Forker, you know, her, how she fought. Like he said, what if she hadn't fought? We would have lost her, you know, sooner. And the fact that she did, you know, says everything, obviously, about her. And, I mean, the end of the rainbow, just, again, a beautifully written 230 plus pages, basically. And what's it like? You know, so often we hear from women in that situation, but what's it like to be the widower, and how do you cope with that kind of loss? How do you, you know, you're a 43, 44 year old widowed father, and how do you deal with that? And what about your kids? And he said that there, how big that was, how he's close to his kids, and that would have made his wife incredibly happy. The fact that now he, you know, that he became a single parent and raised Ben and Charlotte and Nora, and how he had to go on and be able to do that, and that is very, very tough. I mean, look, we all know we're in line, right? I've said this before, because what happens? I mean, it's inevitable. We don't know what is going to happen. We don't know how quickly something's going to happen, or just like that, you're healthy, and then all of a sudden you have leukemia or something else, and you're in the throes of fighting for your life or fighting for another day. I've told this story before in the air, but my mother got cancer and she was super healthy, but she was much older than Jen. And I can remember going to these treatments with her at a place in Philadelphia called Fox Cancer Center. And I'd never been with anyone that got chemo or didn't know much about it. And sitting in the waiting room, I can remember people were getting upset about who got there first. And it's, I mean, because it's a process. You know, you get a number, basically, and you could be at the deli. I hate to say it, but I mean, this is life. And you're waiting and waiting and waiting. And I can remember a woman sitting there saying, hey, it's one more day of life. So he makes a great point. It's very, very short. So make it count, everybody, and thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.